here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 204 on June 20th, 2018. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you'd like to support my work, head on over to enticeme.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. Enticeme offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Just go to enticeme.com, hashtag RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's R-Y-D-E-R. And if you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You'll be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. So hey everybody, you may have noticed that my lead-in didn't talk about Patreon, so now let's have a little chat about what's happening with Patreon. Let's see, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but basically what's happening is I'm fighting a bit of a censorship battle with Patreon right now. Patreon has always kind of walked the line with adult content creators, and their guidelines have been vague. So despite them saying over and over and over again that the guidelines haven't changed, they are absolutely choosing to interpret them and enforce them differently. So they're telling me that I need to take things down that I've had up since day one, and I am questioning them, and we are in a conversation about it. So unfortunately for all of you lovely patrons out there, I do apologize, but they have suspended my page for the time being. So far, the information I've gotten is that they don't want me to put up pictures of women wearing strap-ons because that's considered sex toy play. And then when I question them about simply wearing it isn't playing with it, I mean, there's no penetration, she's not masturbating, he's not giving her a blowjob with a strap-on, you know. When I questioned that, they said, well, you know, you have it up there with erotica, and so you're sexualizing things. So this is where I kind of roll my eyes, and I'm doing my best to work with them, but I'm really, really frustrated, because basically, how do you not sexualize things if you are a sex educator? Hello! Anyway, we have a conversation going. What I am also doing is that I'm spreading the entire conversation far and wide, because one of the things that Patreon is not good about with their adult content providers is transparency. They are not giving us exact information about what we can and cannot do, and it's really, really frustrating. What we think is happening is that PayPal is finally dropping the axe here and telling them what they can do and what they can't, and they are beholden to PayPal because they use them for payment processors. What they do say is that there are many levels of Patreon, and they have their rules, but then their payment processors have rules, and their server people have rules. So they are trying to work with them, and they claim to be fighting for the rights of the adult content creators all along, which they encourage from the very beginning. In fact, they courted adult content creators. Anyway, I am working on all of that. I do apologize that my page is suspended. I really am not sure where it's all going to come out in the wash. But I'm working on it, and this podcast is going to be sent as an email link to each and every one of you patrons. They are going to put in what's called an age gate, so it's a are you 18 to click through. We all know how effective that is, but at least it relieves them of some level of responsibility. Whether that will be good enough for the powers that be that are pulling their puppet strings, I'm not really sure. And I don't mean to sound cynical about it, but I've seen this over and over and over again of the big banks censoring people. It's an underlayer that very few people are aware of, but it's quite real. And the signs are all there, so I hope Patreon, you know, hangs on to all of us adult creators, because we are a very large percentage of their income. So, I would like to read you something that's pretty cool that somebody on chat wrote, and it's just the sweetest thing. It's sort of like there's a conversation going on here, and I say something, and then Patreon says something. So here's what this person wrote. Ruby says, "Everyone, love yourselves, love your partners. Remember the importance of communication and consent. Be safe and don't put anything in your body that might be toxic. Respecting the boundaries of others while advocating for your own needs is possible. Sex is supposed to be fun. Sexuality is a personal expression, not a rigid set of rules to follow. Let's fight the patriarchy. Let's be accepting and make room for everyone. Another kinder, better world is possible." And Patreon says, all in caps, "Oh God, won't someone think of the children?" This was such a lovely collection of words that describe pretty much what I do, and I'd never really thought about it that way. So it warmed my heart, and I really appreciate that. And then I had to laugh about Patreon's response. Now, clearly, this is not a real conversation, but this is what it feels like is happening. So all of you out there, that's kind of what's going on my end. So let's do the Patreon update after all that.
Yes.
One-time donations. I have Edward, who generously gave $25. Edward, thank you so much. And Dennis gave $15. Wow, Dennis, I appreciate the donation. And Steve took a stand against Patreon and said, "Here is a one-time donation of $110 worth 2 years of patronage because I will not put up with censorship." Steve, I totally understand. I really appreciate the very generous donation, and I get why you walked away from Patreon. I am researching alternatives as we speak. All right, let's get to your letters. My wife and I have been pegging for about 20 years, and we have made our own strap-ons. The problem is that one of them is too hard, but very effective. The other just needs some adjustments, but is the closest thing to a real cock I have ever had. When I was younger, all I had to do was ask my little friends if they wanted to have sex. They hardly ever said no. I stopped for some years being with boys, that is, and then when I turned 16, I tried a local gay man, only to be very disappointed. That happened two more times. I was frustrated to no end, so I asked my girlfriend, who is now my wife of 18 years. Needless to say, she was on it, until we had 5 kids, so my frustration was back. We were having troubles in our marriage, and we started again. Now our marriage is better than ever. She loves and goes at it like a job. It's awesome. We were meant for each other, a match made in heaven. We need this toy to be like a prosthetic cock. I will pay dearly for one because I know the return we will get. I have been trying to get a hold of the toy makers myself, but nobody will listen. That's why I am reaching out to you. Please help us. It's worth looking into. We have made our own and have ideas that we know will work. She doesn't like the big cock, but I love it. So the ones we made are small on her end and large on mine. I am going to attach a photo of what we have made. She loves the purple one because of the length, but it riffs me. I like the top one because of how real and large my side is, but I messed up when I made it, and now her end is too short. We have an idea for one that would suck her juice out and pump it into me. Please help us. Sorry for the story, but I want you to know how serious we are. I know they can make it happen." Okay, so I'm thrilled that you two are so into pegging, and that it keeps coming back and being an awesome thing that you share. The photos that you shared with me made me think of two different toys that I would recommend to you. One of the things that is difficult is finding a larger size toy for the receiver end on doubles. And this is what I call what you made. First of all, the reason that the toy makers are not listening to you is because they make and sell what sells. And I know that there are some men out there who really love the bigger penetration with the doubles, but the double makers just basically haven't graduated to that yet, if you will. And I'm not sure how much of a demand there is for it. But, you know, they're manufacturers and they have a lot of expenses and they develop toys and sell them. And so, yeah, you can talk to them all you want about this is what you want, but unless they think it'll sell, they're not going to listen to you. And they have toy developers and people like that. However, I am here to help you, even though I am not a manufacturer, so let me tell you about two toys that I think you should check out. So Vixen Creations makes something that I think that you would like. It is more similar to two dildos with the flat ends put together, which is kind of what you made there with your long purple one that you sent me the picture of. The one I think that's going to appeal to you most is called the Peacemaker. And your end is 6.5 inches long, but it's a nice healthy 1 7/8 inch in diameter. Plus, it's made out of the Vic skin, which is quite realistic. So it's a hefty thing on your end, right? And then on hers, it's 5 1/4 inches long and 1.5 inches in diameter. So it's not as big, but it's long enough to be inside her quite a ways. You're still going to need to use a harness with this, which I think you already know. But I think that is really what you're looking for, especially because you are looking for the realistic on your end. So the other possibility that they have is they have a Nexus and a Nexus Junior. Those two do not have the realistic Vic skin on your end or her end, either one, and they are smaller. So you can check those out when you're at the website. The other possibility is one from a company called Injoyous, Injoyus, and this is another double that actually has a kind of a peg that the dildo slides onto. It is marketed as the only strapless strap-on that is truly strapless. I tried it, didn't work for me. However, since you have a harness, that's really no problem. The bulb is going to be bigger that goes inside her, but it is bigger because it is meant to stay in with no harness. But on your side, one of the dildos that they sell that fits onto the part that goes inside her goes from a 1.4 diameter at the head to 1.9 at the base. So it gets much thicker at the base. And it has 7 inches insertable, so it's a 1/2 inch longer than the Vixen Creations offering. Oh, and by the way, on that Injoyous, the dildos that they sell for that are made of that realistic feeling material as opposed to the harder silicone. So, yeah, there you go. So I'll put the link to those in the Linkorama, and I'm thinking that that might be enough to give you guys some choices for what you're looking for. How entrepreneurial of you to make your own. How handy of you. I always love it when people make their own, but I hope you're using body-safe materials is the only thing I can say. So there you go. Try those out and let us know which one worked for you. And thanks for the question. Okay, this is another email, and the subject line says, "A concerned listener. First, I want to say that your podcast is very enlightening on a subject that for some may think is on the fringe of sexual activities. Keep up that great work of saving one ass at a time. Now to the reason for this email. You recently read an email about the use of yoni eggs. Hearing your endorsement of this product caught me by surprise. One of your core tenets of your podcast is the importance of the use of body-safe products. Now, I'm not sure what opinion is regarding homeopathic practices, but the yoni eggs land squarely in that realm. Here is the CNN article talking about the yoni eggs," and then he linked me to a CNN thing, and he goes on to say, "While the person that sent you the email about the eggs had positive results, the same result could very well have been achieved using body-safe devices and practices. I hope that you take a look at the use of such things and apply the same critical and rational thinking that all of your listeners have come to expect from you. Thank you again for the podcast. I plan on someday, soon, to tell you all about my journey in pegging." So thank you for being concerned and for writing in. I would like to reassure you that the woman who owns Chakrubs is very, very aware of everything mentioned in the CNN piece. So what spurred this on is that Gwyneth Paltrow talked about yoni eggs and stuff. And then CNN did this big thing about it, about how these stones, some of these are porous and can hold bacteria and cause problems, and that also it's not good to walk around with your muscles clenched holding in an egg all the time. So here is what's happening with that. The Chakrubs woman uses only stones that have no inflections, is what they're called. And so that means no bacteria can get in there, and she puts on a very high polish. She polishes them like crazy so that they are non-porous. They are body safe. And she absolutely agrees with you should not put the yoni eggs in and walk around with them. It's hard for me to recall exactly what the person wrote in and talked about with the yoni eggs, the letter that I read, but I believe what she mentioned is just sleeping with them. So the reason you don't want to put them in a walk around with them is because it's a muscle and you need the full range of motion with that muscle. So you don't want to contract it all the time. You want to contract it and then let it go and then contract it and let it go and do exercises as opposed to constantly contracted. Constantly contracted can actually be not a good thing for your pelvic floor muscles, which can tend to be too tight in a lot of people. So there you have it. I would like to reassure you that yes, indeed, all of these stones and crystals that this woman offers are totally fine and are not going to hold bacteria. And I explained the thing about holding it in all the time, which is one of the other things that the CNN thing talks about. So yes, that was a big deal on CNN and Gwyneth Paltrow, but these are fine. These are safe. Thank you for your concern. Okay, here is my next letter. First, Ruby, I'd like to thank you. No music for me yet. You've heard the story up to this point, but your podcast is well loved, and along with many others, you assure me that I am not more than usually messed up by wanting this, and you also give me hope that someday I can get my wife to join me in a little reverse rectal romp. Lovely alliteration there. Like the others, I'm glad to hear you're doing better. I was listening to podcast 202 and heard you talking about butt plugs and hemorrhoids and wanted to chime in. For butt plugs, I find that there is another important dimension that isn't often thought of. The length of the neck. A short neck in me tends to pull the body of the plug up too close to the anus, which opens up the internal sphincter and makes it much harder to hold on to it. A longer neck makes the plug much easier to retain and more fun because I don't have to worry about it. On hemorrhoids, I have some things I noticed in me. I have not yet had any noticeable internal hemorrhoids, the ones that bleed and protrude. What I have had several times have been painful thrombosed external hemorrhoids, where the veins in the anus get blocked and swell up and hurt very noticeably. For a while, I thought I was doomed to endure them for the rest of my life, but I found that pelvic floor work and relaxation helped, along with being very careful not to strain when urinating or defecating. I can't draw any casual relationships, but it's been over a year now with no hemorrhoids, whereas before, for about 2 years, I was getting them every 2 to 3 months. As an additional benefit, I have a much easier time urinating. I have the start of BPH, and when things in the pelvis were tight, it really choked off the urine flow. Of course, I'm also doing regular prostate massage now to help with prostate health. Absolutely no additional motives there. And he puts a winky face. Yeah, no additional motives. We know, all of us people who listen to the podcast, we know what your additional motives are. Okay, so thank you for writing that in. That gave me quite a chuckle. You are absolutely right. The length of the neck could have something to do with it. I'm so glad that you wrote in and pointed this out. And right off the bat, the plug that it makes me think of, which has taken this into consideration, is the B-Vibe Snug Plugs. I'm going to ask Tiffany to put these up on Entice Me. But the brand name is B-Vibe, and the product name is called Snug Plug. And then she has them numbered, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and they range from 0.8 inches all the way up to 1.7 inches in diameter. The neck is long and very, very slender, and the plugs themselves are actually kind of weighted on the inside, so they feel really nice when they're in. So yeah, there is an option right there for you people that have trouble keeping the plugs in. I am so glad you wrote in and told me this. Yay! And the pelvic floor dysfunction stuff, the pelvic floor work, you don't mention what type of pelvic floor work that you had done. A lot of times when people use that phrase, what they mean, if they're male, is that you've had an actual practitioner go in and massage the inside of your anal region to relax the interior muscles of the pelvic floor, because there are people licensed to do that. They usually work under the supervision of a physical therapist in an office somewhere. There's not very many, but there are beginning to be more because it's recognized that pelvic floor dysfunction in men is really important. And it's also important in women, but they go through the vagina when they do it then. So for people out there who are looking for that sort of thing, know that that exists. And it's so important to do that rather than just give some kind of medication or something like that. You mentioned that you have had an easier time urinating. I'm suspecting that that is from the prostate massage because, as you know from listening to my podcast, your prostate gland has the ureter tube that carries the urine from the bladder right smack through the middle of it. And that is why you get urinary difficulties with BPH. And BPH, for new listeners, is benign prostatic hyperplasia. That is just the acronym for the technical name of swollen prostate. So thank you so much for writing that information in. That's awesome. Contributing to the knowledge base. I appreciate it. All right, here is another message. So you remember that guy who was having problems logging in on his iPad and I think maybe also his iPhone? He sent me a quick message and said he got the logging in figured out. The tab at the top of the page won't work, but if you scroll to the very bottom of the page, you can use that link, because there is also an additional link to log in at the bottom of the page. So for anybody who ran into that problem, there you go. Here's another letter, and the subject line says, May Fantasy, quote, Saucy Tea Party, end quote. So for those of you who don't follow my blog, in May was Masturbation Month, and I wrote all kinds of little fantasy stories for you to be inspired and masturbate your crazy little bits off. And one of them was called Saucy Tea Party, which was inspired by a good friend of mine. So here he goes on to say, Ruby, I've long procrastinated in sharing a little fantasy of my own, yet with that particular piece called Saucy Tea Party you drummed up for Masturbation Month, you nearly took the words right out of my mouth. As a prelude, many moons ago, I had just finished listening to your latest podcast installment. It was a particularly moving episode that day for reasons I cannot recall, but I remember it left me with the warm and fuzzies. In the aftermath, I felt reflective, and I began thinking of all the people who feel a connection to, are helped by, or tell their own story on your podcast. I surmised that despite the vast variation of backgrounds, perspectives, practices, and personas belonging to we who listen and contribute to your efforts must have, the depth and breadth of this thing we all share in common called pegging might just be the basis for a powerful social lubricant between us, collectively. I decided my new theory, if tested in a proper scenario, could be grounds for establishing amiable relations amongst us as a group and interpersonally. All that is to say, I think if we, your fans, were ever to gather together in a setting of some design, we could probably throw a damn good party. So then I dreamed of everyone showing up wearing their favorite kinky pegging-themed attire and wondered what that might look like. I imagined everyone chatting and exchanging energies through all sorts of interactions, and everyone minding their best kinky manners, of course. I pictured erotic displays, games, play spaces, equipment, parades, the whole nine yards, and maybe for those into blindfold play, strap-ons, and blow-up dolls, a little game I conceived called Peg the Dildo in the Ass, like Pin the Tail on the Donkey with different props. I dreamt all this long before you released Saucy Tea Party. Then I read your story, and I was floored. It was like you just wrote a scene in my own fantasy. Thanks for that. It was delicious. In my fantasy, this whole affair was structured more as a convention, less as a party. You know, for when your upcoming book hits the bestseller. And I've come up with two possible names so far. The first was plain Rubicon, but I think I rather like Ruby Rider's Pegging Panoply. Cheers, Booty Scooper. That is such an amazing contribution and letter. Wow, Booty Scooper, that's awesome. I love this idea. I really do. I think that your theory about how absolutely the people who all listen and are into this whole thing and we share the pegging interest already do have a place where that has been proved out, and that is actually on the chat channel. I keep talking about the chat channel, and it's because it's such an amazing place. There's so many people there from so many different parts of the world, from so many different backgrounds, and we all share this thing in common. And I think that, how do I put it into words? It's almost as if because the pegging thing is okay with everybody, we've already gotten past that taboo, judgmental, sort of scared people are going to freak out about it stage, because we're all already there. So it creates this sort of tenderness is almost the right word between all of us, this acceptance, this non-judgmental thing. If you're into lingerie, awesome. If you're into big toys, awesome. If you're into BDSM, awesome. All of us are different, and all of us are having the best time talking about things in there. It turns out to be a great place for fielding thoughts about what if I do this next and how about this toy. And yeah, it's a great place. And I'm bummed that Patreon is doing its thing right now because nobody can sign up. You know, you get all inspired. You hear Booty Scooper's letter and then you hear me talking about, you know, the 24/7 chat channel. And you go to Patreon and you can't even fucking sign up. Am I mad about that? Yes, I am. Ugh. But Booty Scooper, I have to say that Ruby Rider's Pegging Panoply, again, alliteration, fucking awesome. Oh my God. And the picture you paint of the celebration, I really enjoy the view of that. It's because my book hit the bestseller list. Absolutely. Thank you for that contribution. That was delightful. Okay, here is my next letter. The subject line is My Pegging Adventure. Hi, Ruby. I'm a big fan. I've been listening to your podcast for about a year now, and I just wanted to share my story and ask a question at the end. It started out with a rim job. It was with my now wife at the time we were dating. I don't really know where or why I got the idea I wanted to try it, but she was down with it. And then it turned into a finger or two later down the road, and I also enjoyed that. I won't go into too much detail, but I thoroughly enjoyed it, and she did as well. She was never an ass woman until I turned her into one, and then he's got a winky face. I had thought about pegging for a while when we were dating, but never had the courage to bring it up because I thought she would never be into it. After a few drinks, I finally brought it up, and to my surprise, she said she was down to try it. And now this might sound a little weird, but that was the exact moment I knew I wanted to marry her, because I knew I could talk to her about anything and not be judged and totally be myself around her. And coincidentally, the first time I got pegged is the night I proposed in Niagara Falls. Ever since then, we do it about once a month, sometimes more. I have totally turned her into my little pegging queen, and I love it, and I love that she loves it. My question to you, Ruby, is can you recommend a dildo or toy that is slender, but still long enough to hit the P-spot? We use a fairly short one, and I feel like it barely hits it, and we have tried a bigger one, but it's a little too thick for me as it kind of hurts, even with enough lube. Thank you for all you have done for my confidence and information you have given me. And so here is the challenge once again. A more slender dildo that is longer. Yes, that is one of the challenges. You don't give measurements, so that makes it a little bit difficult for me because I can't calibrate is what I'm trying to say. Because, you know, you might use something that's 5 inches long and that's just too short. And so a slender toy that is 6 6¼ inches long would be awesome. So if that's the case, then you can just get something. There's a whole variety of those available on Entice Me that are all body safe, non-toxic, and those have been screened by Tiffany, bless her heart. Or if you already have something that is around 6 inches long and you're looking for something longer because it's just simply not long enough, and I don't know your body shapes, if you two are big, beautiful people, one or the other or both, then you're going to need a longer toy. What I have for you right now is a toy that has been available through Tantus. They said they were going to discontinue it, so we can't get it and we don't carry it on Entice Me, but you can still go to Tantus and buy this toy. It is called the Sport Long. And so it is not very wide and it has a little bit of a bulb at the end. It's not really realistic shaped at all. It just has a larger end on it, but it's not large at all. The whole thing is fairly slender. It's 7.5 inches insertable and the diameter is 1.25. So that should work for you perfectly. The 1.25 should not challenge you and the 7.5 should get you wherever you need to be. And I have to say, what a lovely story of the first time getting pegged, the night you proposed in Niagara Falls. Wow. Just wow. Thank you for sharing that with us. And hopefully that Tantus Sport Long is going to be the trick for you. There's another company that we are investigating right now to make longer, slender toys, which, as you know, if you've listened to this podcast, is something I am seeking out that I feel like the manufacturers just really don't do a good job of providing. And if we find any other toys, I'll let you know. And I'll put the link for that Tantus Long in the Linkorama. Thanks for writing in. Okay, this is something that was written on the forum. And it's written by Daddy's Princess 13. And she wrote, "So my daddy loves having his ass played with, as do I. We have done a little pegging and a bunch of ass play. This is the first time I have been with someone who is into this, and I have a couple of concerns. I am not afraid of turning him gay because I don't believe that's how being gay or even being bi works. I believe it's inherently part of who you are. My concern or fear is that he's very interested in looking at pictures and videos of transsexuals who have had breast implants but still have their penis. He does this sometimes before I get home, and he wants to have his ass played with. When I've asked, the response I get is that he just likes looking at them. However, my fear is that he just isn't ready to admit that is what he wants, and obviously being a woman, I can't quite give that to him. I'm looking for some opinions of other people who look at this type of porn or are with people who do, and wondering if it's really just something to look at, or should I be worried that in the end, I just am not what he needs or wants. Thank you. Okay, here's what I know about porn. The kind of porn that you watch doesn't indicate the type of sex that you like to have necessarily. Interestingly enough, like for example, I love watching gay porn. Oh my God, I love watching gay porn. Well, I'm not a gay man, so there you go. I know that some basic research that had some questionable methods of being collected showed that men are fascinated by two things, breasts and penises. Interestingly enough, penises are part of what they like to look at. So, transsexual women have both breasts and a penis. So this is what the guys are fascinated by. Does that mean that they want to go find a transsexual? Sometimes it's easy to slip into the fear that what your partner is looking at on porn is what they want. Like when a partner watches porn that has all of the beautiful plastic perfect bodies, right? And to think, well, they don't like my body because my body's not perfect. They're with you. They love you. They're fucking you. You're fucking them. You're having a good time. You're together. That's not what's happening with the porn. The porn is a show. It's like kabuki sex, okay? So that's just something to watch, to get excited by. It doesn't mean that that's what they want. If they're with you, then trust that they're with you because they want to be with you. And if he has already answered that it's just something he wants to take a look at, then you're good. And there are lots of different ways that you can fuck this man with lots of different types of toys. And you know what? Penises are penises. You cannot exchange them. You can't take one off and put a bigger one, a longer one, a smaller one, a curved one on. You are the one that has the power here. You have so many different kinds of toys you can fuck that man with and give him so many different sensations. So I wouldn't worry about it. I really wouldn't. And I have not been with a partner who likes to look at transsexual porn, so I can't tell you from that point of view. Perhaps if some of our listeners have, they'd like to weigh in on this, but I would reassure you, you really don't have anything to worry about, and have fun pegging this man. Thanks for sharing that with us. Here's the next one. This was a very short message that just made me go, and I thought I'd read it to y'all because, you know, then you can go, The subject line is Men in Their Place, and the message says this. I enjoy putting men in their places. Do you do verbal humiliation? I do, and they love it. And that's it. That's the whole message. So, that was interesting. I personally do not do verbal humiliation, but I know that there are people who love doing it, and there are people who love receiving it. I am glad that you enjoy it and that you are with partners who enjoy it. I enjoy putting men in their places in a different manner. I enjoy putting them in positions and fucking them. That's what I enjoy. But thank you for that chuckle. You know, I'm glad you are having a good time with your verbal humiliation. Thanks for writing in. Okay, here we go. The next message. The subject says, just came across your awesome podcast. Hello, Ruby. I just found your podcast and you are awesome. I love the woman and bisexual stories. They are so hot and I can listen to you read those with your sexy voice all day long. Thanks for all you do. That's sweet. Thank you so much for taking the time to write me and tell me. And if Patreon ever gets its ass in gear, oh my God, I have some unresolved anger about Patreon, clearly. But if Patreon ever gets it together, I would like to let you know that for $5 a month, you would have access to every single erotic story that I have written, and also the audio recordings of a whole bunch of them. So in case you haven't already discovered it, I did 2 full podcasts full of women's stories since you like them so much. Podcast number 115 and also 175. And I'm going to put those in the Linkorama for you because I know what it's like when you run across something that tickles your fancy just perfectly. Enjoy if you haven't already found them. Thanks for writing in and sharing that with me. I do appreciate it. Alrighty, here is another letter. This is a response from the guy who was seeking hands-free solo fucking. Hi, Ruby. Thank you so much for answering my questions on your podcast. The shock rocker looks intriguing, but I think I will stick with one of the Tantus dildos with a handle for my next toy. I've also experimented with strapping a harness around a body pillow and colander for support for use on my back. With knees to chest and the pillow on my shins, I can get close to what I was hoping for. Not hands-free, but close. Oh, the lengths we will go to get off. I really appreciate your advice and all you do to support open communication about our desires. You know, I'm so glad that you wrote me back because I think I forgot to mention one option. Liberator makes a pillow that has a base that it's a pillow that you can ride. And so it is hands-free in that you are riding it. You're kind of sitting on it and going up and down. And it has a mount for whatever toy you'd like to put in there. Okay, it's called the Liberator Pulse Mount. That is exactly what it's called, the Liberator Pulse Toy Mount. And you can turn it around and ride it one way or the other, which will facilitate either a vaginal direction or an anal direction, and you can stick a toy in there. I don't think toys with balls would work very well, but pretty much any toy that you have that you use in a harness will work just fine, and that way you can ride it. Now, you do have to have decent knees to do this, but if that's something that you have, that is one more option for hands-free solo fucking. Woohoo! Okay, so I hope you enjoy that handled toy. And I'm going to put the link to the Pulse Toy Mount, and you can check that out too. So the Shock Rocker is definitely much more expensive, but I have a story about that at the end of the podcast. You'll just have to wait to hear it. All right, thanks for writing back. And here is another letter regarding Podcast 202 and the question about leather cleaning. In response to how to clean leather for the woman in this episode who was getting her hands and hips onto an Aslan Manx. One of my oddities is that I shave exclusively with straight razors. This requires a polishing before and after each shave on a leather strop to make sure the edge is clean and smooth. Those of us who shave in this fashion need to keep our strops in tip-top and clean shape. The way a lot of us do this is either using saddle soap or neat's foot oil. Not only do their products clean, but they condition and protect for future use. In other words, you don't have to clean with these things every time, even every third, fourth, or fifth time. Just a little wipe down in any soiled spots should be enough. With the exception of feces, you will want to do a little more to those areas. If anyone tries these products, please keep in mind a little goes a long way. Too much and you will have an oily / greasy feeling harness. No fun. Hopefully this helps. So to get more specific, in case I didn't pronounce that well enough, saddle soap, quite sure you can find that at the local Western store, and neat's foot oil, NEATSFOOT, neat's foot. So that will probably be something you can find on the internet or perhaps at the Western store as well. Thank you for that information. I appreciate it. And yes, because of your experience with doing the straight razor thing, yeah, you absolutely know how to take care of leather. So one more way to take care of it. There you go. Thanks for adding to the knowledge base. I appreciate it. And then what do we have now? We have pegging celebration time. Thank you. Dear Ruby, thank you so much for the work that you do. I began exploring ass play 2 years ago in my mid-30s. I used a small plug-shaped vibrator for about a year. That toy helped me discover my prostate. I learned to be patient, especially with regards to warming myself up, and I was amazed at the intensity of my orgasms when I stroked my cock with that vibrator in. My amazing girlfriend has never been into ass play before she agreed to finger me. Once she tried it, she absolutely loved providing me with so much pleasure. She prides herself in giving incredible blowjobs, and she became excited to make our sessions even more blissful for me with the addition of her fingers and my vibrator. 6 months ago, she asked me, "Do you want me to peg you?" Her tone sounded unsure, and I assumed that she meant, "Is this something that you have thought about and want me to do?" I responded honestly with the first thing that came to mind. "I don't think that's something I want." She immediately responded, "I don't want to try anything that we're both not into. I have always maintained a more dominant role in our sex lives, and I thought that pegging would somehow compromise that." She really values affirmed consent and didn't push at all when I turned her offer down. 2 months ago, while on a drive, she was talking about how much she loves my ass and mentioned, "I still really want to try pegging you." I had completely misread our prior conversation, and I realized that this idea really turned her on. She and I really enjoy fucking, and we really enjoy fucking each other, and I was presented with a fun new way to fuck. Nervous and excited, I agreed to try it. I bought a dildo with the intention to try it out solo, both to see if it was a good fit and to find out what I liked and disliked about having a larger toy in my ass. I chose the Gotemeish Ambit, and he puts a link to it, which has a good curve to it and a pronounced head. It's not a huge dildo, but it was significantly bigger than anything I'd previously used. I loved it right away. Once I realized that I could take something that size and actually enjoy it, I felt much more comfortable with the idea of being pegged. She loved using the dildo on me manually, and I was ecstatic the first time she guided my hand down to feel how wet it made her to play with my ass. One time she used very short, shallow strokes with the dildo while worshipping my cock, and that aroused me like few other experiences. We soon bought a harness, and after some drinks at a nice daytime party, I asked, "Do you want to peg me tonight?" Her eyes lit up, and she nodded yes. We got home, and she ran to put on the new lingerie I'd bought her. When I walked into the room, she looked incredibly sexy, and she was visibly excited. She was quick to lay me on my back at the edge of our bed and start groping my ass. She hurriedly put a plug in me, using plenty of lube. I was nervous and excited, just as I felt when I first agreed to be pegged. She put on her harness and put the dildo in place. She motioned for me to stand up. I agreed and immediately began to admire her. She looked so sexy and sweet in her lingerie, and she had a mischievous look on her face. To me, the harness and dildo that she wore embodied her taking something that she wanted. That expression of her sexual desire and will turned me the fuck on. She wanted to fuck my ass. I thought, she took a little risk even broaching the taboo subject of pegging, all because she wanted this ass. Now we're here, and this is really fucking hot. We were both too eager to jump into the act. This dildo, that had been fine during solo or partnered manual play, felt a lot bigger this time. I had trouble relaxing, even though we started with standing missionary, which resembled my normal position for solo play. It took quite a while, but we slowed down, and I deepened my breathing, and I became comfortable. Comfort grew into pleasure quickly. She really enjoyed running her hands up and down my legs, and she was thrilled when I moaned or closed my eyes and threw my head back. That type of pleasure feedback drives her crazy, which I love. I turned over and we switched to doggy style, which was intense and fun. It turns out that I really enjoy throwing my ass back while she stays stationary. It gave me more control of depth and speed, and it gave her a great view and a chance to be more handsy. We then switched to missionary laying down. I started stroking my cock and bucking my hips up off the bed while she thrust slowly. I was in heaven. Unbeknownst to her, the dildo fell out, but I was so close to finishing that I kept stroking. I made a gasping sound as I shot my biggest and most forceful load in years, some of it reaching the pillow above my head, the rest landing on my torso. The intense pleasure of it left me absolutely spent. She stared at the cum on my body and then looked at me intensely. She seemed proud of her work. She took the dildo out of the harness and lay with me. She stared at me for a while, then said, "I had no idea it would be that fucking fun." I finally mustered the energy to hand her a vibrator to use and played with her nipples until she made herself come, as I badly wanted her to get off, but I could barely function. We will absolutely try pegging again, with a more thorough warm-up, and maybe a sturdy armless chair, as you often suggest. Thank you for providing invaluable information about a subject that brings so much happiness, novelty, and gratification to so many lives. Your nuanced views of the social dynamics of pegging and prostate play have helped me understand and contextualize my feelings about my own pleasure, and I can't thank you enough for that. Warmly, Discovering My Ass. Discovering My Ass. Thank you so much for the story and congratulations. What a lovely story. This is awesome. You know, it's not unusual to have a toy that you are so familiar playing with by yourself and have no problems taking. And it's the excitement of the moment. You kind of clench up a little bit. You're a little bit nervous. You're going to get fucked, right? That you can't do it as easily when you're not by yourself. So that is not unusual. I'm glad you guys worked through it and took your time. And yes, I absolutely advise solo play first. So you did that part perfectly. I'm so happy for you. Well done, sir. And then when I talk about actually doing it and I say go slow, I really, really mean going slow. You can make that into an extended, really fun tease, the whole warm-up thing. You know, you could do all kinds of different things until you are begging her for it, even though, okay, you're dominant, so maybe you don't want to do that. Nonetheless, thank you for the story, and also thank you for pointing out that you're usually dominant, because there are a lot of men out there who, because they usually have the dominant role and are expected by their partners to have the dominant role, are afraid to try this. So I appreciate your story even more for that. And I was happy to play the music for you. Thank you for sharing that all with us. Okay, so now I'm going to tell you the story about my wild weekend away. I've talked about it for a couple of podcasts already. It's called Boundless. It's in Northern California. It's way past Ukiah at a beautiful retreat center up in the mountains. The weather was just about perfect, if just a little bit chilly, but it was nice because it wasn't horrendously hot. I think it got up to 92 a few days after the weekend itself, so we were fortunate. And I spoke about Boundless last year. It's been a while. I wrote an article about it, which I will link to in the Linkorama, and I have not written an article yet this time, but I will be writing another. I just wanted to share with you some of the highlights of Boundless for me. First of all, I went with a guy who I have been calling tall, handsome, and strawberry blonde. He was a delightful companion for the trip. Oh my gosh. We matched really, really well, and we had a lot of things that were alike. It started being a little bit eerie. I like spicy food. Wow, I like spicy food too. We had 16 hours to talk, so we covered a lot of things, including spicy food, right? So we got up there late Friday night and got settled in our cabin. And when I say cabin, I'm using that word generously. It is very basic, but it is absolutely sufficient. There is not a bathroom in the cabin. It's just a short walk over to another building. But we got all set up in there, and the weekend began. And some of the things that I really remember fondly are, tall, handsome, and strawberry blonde was really attentive to me all weekend long. Anything I asked for, I got. It was amazing. And he served me, as was my wish, quite well for the weekend. I taught a couple of classes. I love, love, love teaching. So that was really fun. They once again had the gourmet grilled cheese sandwiches at midnight on Saturday night. And at that point, he and I were cozying on the couch outside where they were making the gourmet grilled cheese sandwiches inside, right? And we looked like we weren't going to go anywhere. And one of the organizers came by and said, "Are you waiting for the grilled cheese sandwiches?" I said, "Yeah, but you know, I don't know if we're going to be able to move from this couch." And you know, those people come out with trays of them and serve them. So not only did we get served gourmet grilled cheese sandwiches, but someone else came by later to check on me to make sure that I got my grilled cheese sandwiches. That is the level of care an attentiveness in terms of the organizers of this event that they have. The organizer sent someone to check to make sure that Ruby Ryder got her gourmet grilled cheese sandwiches. I felt so special and so cared for, and that is what they go to great lengths to do for you at Boundless, is give you that feeling of being cared for and trying to make sure you get everything you need. There were two times during the weekend where I asked the kitchen to put plates aside because I was playing through or doing something else through a meal. They very happily and eagerly complied. They had no problem with that at all. And that is such a freedom, because that way you're not bound to the meal times. They do feed you all weekend long. The food is absolutely incredible. And let's see, some other things that were extraordinary. After I taught my first class, I was approached by a couple, and the woman basically offered up her partner for me to have fun with. It just so happened I was looking for someone who could take a heavier level of impact play. I like to beat men. You guys know that if you listen to the podcast. I'm a sadist. It gives me great pleasure. It gives me wet panties, okay? So tall, handsome, and strawberry blonde can take light to medium work, and I was looking for someone who could take something a little harder so I could take more of the reins, I could loosen the reins off that sadist inside me. And I'm kind of giving you a glimpse into what it's like to be a sadist and a little bit of a glimpse into the BDSM world. So I asked her if he was what they call a heavy pain bottom, and she said, as a matter of fact, he is. So it was this beautiful scene of a massage table that he was tied to, underneath a shady tree, outside, both my partner and the woman who offered this man up to me were sitting there in chairs watching, and I worked on him for about an hour and a quarter is what I'm guessing. I didn't time it, but that's what it felt like. It was so much fun. We both had such a great time. I took him to where he wanted to get to, and it was amazing. I really, really enjoyed it. I have so much gratitude for this woman and the man. And so that was indeed a pleasure. And my partner said it was really fun to watch me because he'd been on the receiving end of that. So it was fun to watch me work, is what he said. So I did bring two things up to Boundless for people to use that I announced on the threads in FetLife, where we were all talking about what we were going to bring and what we wanted to do up there and stuff like that. And one was the shock rocker. I told you I was going to tell you a story about a shock rocker, right? So what I did was I brought it up there. I had a toy mounted to it already, and I had a card that I wrote out directions on how to use it, and to use it with a condom, and to clean it afterwards, and boom, there you go. So I put it in the dungeon. And the dungeon basically is just a big room where they have all kinds of BDSM equipment that people are doing a variety of different things with. It's an amazing place. And it did get used. And the man who used it said it was amazing. So that is a review that's finally going to be written. The Shock Rocker people generously sent me this for free some time ago. I told them I could write a review for a man using it. So yes, I have that review now. The other thing I brought is the UV sanitizing box. I put that in the corner and put another card telling exactly how to use that. So if people had toys they wanted to sterilize or anything they wanted to sterilize, you can put your cell phone in there if you want, they could use the box. And so that is something that got used a bit over the weekend as well, which is awesome. And lastly, I want to tell you a story about a couple I met. We were eating together, and they said, okay, we know this isn't your area of expertise, but we would like to ask you some questions, just in case, you know, because you seem to know a lot about a lot of things. And first of all, he's been in chastity since October, and she has him service her by either putting on a strap-on or using a handheld toy. The difficulty that had arisen between them is that she found it really difficult to have the toys used on her because the initial insertion of the toy always was painful, and she didn't know why. The interesting thing as well is that if it was a real penis, it wasn't painful. So they both enjoy tremendously the chastity dynamic, and so she didn't want to be craving taking him out of chastity so he could fuck her. She wanted to be able to be serviced with the toys. So we puzzled it out for a while. I thought about all the different things it could possibly be, and I had this thought. I had brought a bunch of toys because I taught a toxic toy class. And one of the toys that I brought as an example of a non-toxic toy is a glass dildo. For some reason, I thought that the slickness of the glass, the utter smoothness of it, might be something that would work really well. And so I said, look, I have this toy. You guys want to use it? And they said, well, sure. So that was on Sunday afternoon. And my partner kindly ran off to the cabin and brought it back. And I encouraged them to use that and see what they thought. So the next morning was the last morning of the weekend. It was Monday morning. I was sitting eating breakfast, and the man came and sat down next to me and leaned in shoulder to elbow and placed the glass dildo in its beautiful satin lavender bag on the table and said, it worked. Oh my God, did it work, right? And I was so happy for them. I said, really? And he said, oh yeah, this worked like a charm. So apparently they had a wonderful, wonderful time with the glass dildo. And I said, well, clearly you need to take this home. And they were surprised and pleased, and I was thrilled that I could solve a difficult problem that they had. Nobody wants to have pain during sexy times. That's no good, no good at all. And so he is still in chastity, they have the glass dildo, and everybody's happy. Yes, Boundless is an amazing place where stuff like this happens, and connections and people. So I encourage you all to check it out. I'm going to put the link in the Linkorama. They're actually selling tickets now for next year because they're going to raise the price. And for a time, they're selling the tickets for next year at this year's prices. So if that sounds like anything you guys would be interested in, it's in Northern California, past San Francisco, up a little further north, just past the town called Ukiah. U-K-I-A-H. Oh, and it's clothing optional all weekend long, too. It's freaking clothing optional. Oh, my God. They have a huge swimming pool. They have a huge in-ground hot tub that can fit at least 20, 30 people. Oh, my gosh. So, yes, I've waxed poetic about it quite long enough, and I will also link to the article and let you know when I have that up as well. Okay, everybody, I think that's it for this podcast. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some sexy new toys from EnticeMe.com, please remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your entire purchase. Send your questions to Ruby at PeggingParadise.com. No question is too quirky, too quiescent, or too quintessential. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.